Welcome to Diverse City Church Sermons. We hope that you enjoy this week's message.
And Pastor Lorenzo kind of set the stage in terms of going all in for Jesus and sacrifice and commitment. That's what we're going to talk about here today. So I got two scriptures. Can we all read together? All right. So it's going to be Jeremiah 33 and 3 and Matthew chapter 6 and 33. 1, 2, 3, let's read. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. All right, next verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be in your presence once again. As the praise and worship team stated, to fill our cups, Lord, I pray that you just fill me up, Lord, and to pour me out to be a vessel for your people today. Lord, we pray that you just have this way as I yield to you to bring forth your word for your people. And all that agree, say amen. 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 So, you can leave that verse up there. This verse kind of put it in my heart when it says, call unto me. It's interesting when life happens, who we call on. Sometimes God is first, sometimes he's second, sometimes he's third, sometimes he's become the last resort. But the best part of it is, like, when you call, he will actually answer. Now, I've experienced throughout my life calling on him, and it feels like my prayers just hit the ceiling. Anybody else been like that? Be like, God, do you hear me? Are you there? What's going on? And he's telling us he will answer us and be able to show great and mighty things. And so it made me just think, okay, if I'm calling and I can't hear him, what's the disconnect? So let me tell the story to just set the stage. And this message was inspired by a book I read that changed my life about fasting. Who's on the fast? Raise your hand. All right, good, 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 good. Who would like to be on the fast? Who struggled on the fast? Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk about that today a little bit. So the lumberjack story. So on the lumberjack field, there's a group of men. They're preparing their normal Monday morning ritual to begin to go out and cut some trees. And now there's one guy. He's a seasoned veteran, 20 years in the game, and he's like the lumberjack OG. He's the man. He knows how to get it done. And then there's this other guy over here, new hotshot, about 23, six-something, muscular, six-pack, got muscles coming out of his neck, said, today is the day I will challenge the OG. So he has his protein shake in the morning. He gets his 5 a.m. workout, and he is ready to go. So they get to work. They're having their conversation. They just finished their pre-service work meeting to get everything to go. And as they get ready to go to their assignments, the young guy said, wait. Can we do something different today? I would like to be the king of the lumberjack. I will challenge you to be able to do it, to show that I am the best. So the old guy was like, okay, if you want to do this, are you sure? Did you hear from God on this? And challenge has been accepted. So they both get their equipment. They get ready. The next thing you know, the young guy's ready, exhorting all of his force. Wham, wham, knocking them down. Go to the next tree. Wham, wham, knocking it down. One by one, you got people over here excited like, dang, he knocking them down after 10 seconds. Woo! And then you got the old guy over here. He's just taking his time and cutting. And after he cuts each tree, he just sits down. You know, take a break, which is when you're over 60, you can, no offense to anybody, but you need to take a break, you're more effective. And then he gets up after he does one, and then he cuts again. And then there's lunchtime, and then it's kind of crazy, everyone's scared, they're seeing the older guy is actually winning. So then after lunch, they come back, the young guy's really turning it up. He has a C4 protein shake, whacking it down, tired, not taking any breaks, and the older guy's doing the same thing. Cutting a tree, after he's done, he sit down. And then at the end of the day, they look at the amounts. He has his pile of trees, he has his pile of trees. And the older guy has double the amount of trees. And the young guy's frustrated, right? He called him out. He wanted to challenge him for this competition and can't figure out what's wrong. So it's 5:15, they're wrapping up the day, and the young guy is full of disappointment. He walks over to the older guy, and he said, "What's your secret? How did you do that? Like, you were taking breaks. I know I'm stronger than you. I know I have more skills. What happened?" And what the old guy said is, "Every time I sat down, I sharpened my edge. You kept swinging with the dull edge." So the title of today's message is Getting Your Edge Back. As a Christian, do you still have an edge in Christ? Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Did you get disappointed because Quincy wasn't leading worship today? The song sound great, but it just wasn't the same. We love Stephanie, she's faithful, but it just wasn't the same. Pastor Lorinda came up and you said, "No, we want the other half." You lost your edge. When you get up and you pray and you just say, ask me, do this," you lost your edge. Where is your passion? Where is your zeal for God? Now, with others, when they were watching the story, it looked like he was taking a break, but he was getting his edge. As a Christian, a called again believer, we have to have our edge back. When you look at statistics and you see Christianity is not the fastest growing religion in America, it's because we lost our edge. We see other forms of sect, of discipline, doing more than what we're doing because we've become soft. We've come to make excuses. As Pastor Lorinda said, there are people traveling 2 hours on foot. I'm one of the people that was scared and was like, "Lord, should I prepare my message? Because if it's going to snow, I should just spend more time doing other stuff." But that was the excuse. Now, it's interesting, during this time, when you look at your edge, what are some of the things that you're doing? Sometimes it may be your own mistakes. Sometimes life has happened to you. And what God believes for 2019, he wants you to have more. But you have to participate in your own breakthrough. You have to participate in the things of God. You can go to the next one. So, if 2019 is going to be great, what you're saying is, "Lord, I need a breakthrough." Who wants a breakthrough this year? Let me see. Let me make sure I'm talking to the right people. Breakthrough. According to Webster, it says a sudden, a dramatic, and important advance. Now, that happens spiritually, but there's breakthroughs in the natural and multiple type of realms. Just think about your phone. Look at the breakthroughs you've seen there. There's people in children's church that will not believe you if you tell them when the phone was first invented, there was a cord attached with it. My phone is more like my computer. It's the most popular device I have. I remember getting my first Nokia cell phone and just only being able to play Snake and run and do it. Who needs to play Snake? Raise your hand. Y'all know, it was off the chain. I was in high school all the time, should be in class, playing Snake. But look what you can do with it now. From your calendars, your schedule, you see breakthrough after breakthrough. You see it in the medicine form, right? From different cures and various things. In technology, we're seeing robots come in. We're seeing other stuff like cryptocurrency. All of these forms of breakthrough. And sometimes it's on an individual basis, right? Some of us need breakthrough in our marriages. Some of us need breakthrough in our careers. Some of us need breakthroughs to get through college. Some of us need to see breakthroughs financially because Sally Mae ain't playing. She wants her money every time, or she will garnish your wages. Breakthrough. What is that thing in your life that you need to see change? What is that thing in your life where you need to see God put his super on your natural? Now, when we look at 2018, some of us assess and say, "Yes, I can look back and see God has given me a breakthrough in this. God has given me a breakthrough in that." But for others, we look at our bank account, our money looking funny, we look at our health conditions, and we didn't experience a breakthrough. We actually received a setback. Now, a setback is a dead end. A setback is just kind of like a stall. It's a hindrance. It's a hiccup. It's something when you just try to push against it and you look and you see, why didn't this change? Who's experienced any type of setback this year? God got on me. He convicted me. He said, you did a lot of work this year, but you did it in your own being. You didn't spend enough time with me. You didn't spend enough time keeping your edge sharp. And you were able to get it done, but it took you more longer. It took you more force. It took you more money. But will you trust me? And while it looks like others, you're taking a break, but it's really spending time with him. Now, with that being said, you have a choice based on how you look at your life, the things that are going on. Some of those setbacks, mainly it happens on three different fronts. Number one, it's self-inflicted. I made some stupid mistakes. That was me. I'll take the hit on that. I knew I shouldn't have bought that. That was an impulse spin. I knew I shouldn't go there. I knew I shouldn't have answered that text. I knew I shouldn't post that picture. Those are self-inflicted self-bats. Number two, sometimes it's others. You had nothing to do with it, but maybe it was something in your family. You had to respond or come out the pocket just to be a blessing to help them, and you didn't see it coming, and now you're looking at your situation, but you did it in a good heart to be able to help others. And then number three, I know it's not popular to talk about, it's an enemy. It is Satan. No, he's not sitting with the pitchfork. He's 6'2", tall, light-skinned, white, handsome, whatever you call it. That's him. Or she's fine, looking like a Coke bottle, 24, 36, whatever. Those are the enemy. You got to make sure you be careful because the attack is coming. The attack is coming in 2019. But it's your opportunity to fight with a dull axe or actually sharpen your head and say, yep, I've been waiting on you. Or you can sit there and struggle year after month after month after month and seeing what's not going on or what's not happening because your inability to give your attention and focus on him. Check this scripture out in Psalms 77, verse 2. As we all know, David, a man after God's own heart, but at the same time, David had his issues, David had his challenges, and David had his struggles. In the first part, it reads, when I was distressed, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out with my hands, and I would not be comforted. So what's interesting is when I look at the first part, when I was distressed, sometimes we only go to God when we've exhausted all of our options. But what if everything's going well? The check is in the mail. You're feeling great. But he said he sought the Lord. Sometimes without a fast, sometimes without difficult situations, we don't really wrestle and stretch out and give our lives to God. So what God was telling me too is that some of the times when we're in distress or actually when things are going well, it's a Friday, things are good, you're happy, it's payday, you're yelling, lovely day, lovely day, lovely day, lovely day. Yep, that's 35 and up, 35 and up. Sorry. I'm not 35, though. Don't place judgment on me. Just saying. But my mama was an old school cat. Anyhow. Or you're singing, I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. Or Justin Timberlake, what does it go? Can't stop the feeling. Dance, dance. My kids got that song, and it's a little Trolls video. They got the whole routine down. Or it's awesome. Or for my contemporary hip-hop people, you're living your best life. Smile, saint. Anyhow. Yes, Anthony, my amen corner over there. Yes. So what if you're not in distress? What's the interesting discovery I find? If you bring up the scripture, C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest theologians that ever lived, he said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. What is that scripture saying? It's just that when life is good, you can't hear him, right? Your frequency is not tight. You begin to come further and further away because you got it under control. But when everything is going crazy and haywire, then you can hear him. Nothing has changed. He continues to still speak, but it's where is your focus at? Where is your attention at? Does he have your heart? So while during this, it's funny, right? Last Tuesday, I had an interesting encounter, right? No, it's actually Monday. So Monday, getting ready, taking my daughter to school. Of course, we know it, everyone having snow. I walked outside, go cut on the truck, get it ready so it's nice and warm because daddy's going to take care of his daughter. So you get it out, get that all situated. She's in the house. And as I was walking to the truck, I seen this lady, and she didn't leave the house for 2 days. So you already know, snow's everywhere. I looked and I said, I gotta go. So, so I said, I gotta go, I'm late, I got a meeting, I gotta drop her off, I gotta be back. I only got like 2 minutes to help her. So what's 2 minutes gonna do? Just go ahead and let her, you know, use that thingamajigger that I just bought the other week ago to scrape the ice off the car. So I go cut the truck on, go back. We made eye contact, and I'm like, my daughter's in the house by herself. I can't leave her there. So come back again. I forgot I left the car seat in the house, so I go get the car seat. She look at me again, and you could tell the struggle is real. I'm like, I got to go. I got to be back for this meeting to host. I got 25 minutes. It takes 11 minutes and 30 seconds to drop her off and then get back in the car and get home. I got this all planned out. And so then put the car seat in. I didn't even look at her on the way back because I got to go. And then God was like, you need to go help her. You are not fitting in time for me. You got your own schedule planned out. Yes, you got up and you prayed, and now this is your time, the opportunity to be obedient, and you worried about being in a meeting that you really don't care about. So I said, okay. So I went and got my ice scraper, forgot my gloves, because, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. And I said, can I help you, ma'am? And she said, yes. So I pull out the ice scraper. I'm scraping it, spending all this time, and I'm like, oh, man. And my heart's not right, but I'm being obedient, you know. So I scrape it off. She's happy. She said, thank you. And I'm like, hey, if you need anything else, I got you. So take my daughter back. And I'm on the way back home. I'm already late 10 minutes. And then next thing you know, this lady's still here. Now she's stuck. She's trying to back forth. It's two ladies outside trying to push her out. And here's the interesting thing. My response changed. I said, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to help. So I parked the car, got my gloves out. As soon as I hit the door to walk over there, boom, the car's moving on its own. And what the Lord told me is like, your heart has to be right in 2019. When you're upset and you do it in the wrong spirit, you're going to have to do the work on your own. But if your heart is right and you're looking for an opportunity to be able to help his people, I'll do it for you. I truly believe, without a shadow of a doubt, if I was complaining again and said, this lady already got me late 15 minutes for my meeting, I would have been there struggling, helping this lady push the whole time, but my spirit, my countenance changed on this situation, and God was able to work it out. Go to the next one real quick. So, we talk about 2019 and how this is going to be a new year, and we're expecting new results. But change isn't change until you change. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting the same results. So I'm glad to talk with you. I'm glad to hear all of the amazing things that God has put on your heart to be able to do. But with that, what are you going to change? How is this year going to be different? Change. Sometimes we want a miracle where it just happened overnight. There's no such thing as an overnight success. It's the things we're doing in the back room. It's the things that we're doing behind the scenes. But without change, your arrow is going to just keep going. But God wants you to go up. Look to your neighbor and say, go up with me. I may need your help. So think about this. Where do you need a breakthrough this year? Have you actually written it down? Have you actually taken it to God in prayer? What do you believe in God for this year? What are you willing to do more of? What are you willing to do less of? And what are you willing to change? Because I got this discovery, and you can show it on the screen, it says breakthrough. Most breakthroughs in life happens when you seek them. You have to pursue it. You can't just wait on God and just keep praying. God wants to be a participator in your blessings. Some of us are sitting here and trying to figure out, why am I still here? Why can't I get through? But this breakthrough happens when you get involved. You get your hands dirty. You go to Rwanda. You can't just say, I want to be an international ministry without going, putting funds, making seeds. There's things you want to do with your business. Do you even have a business plan written? Or is it just something? Is it just a wish right now? Is it just a dream? How are we able to work towards it? If you want to get out of debt, if I came to you and gave you a check and you can't tell me how much money you need, what am I going to do? How serious are you about this year? And from a spiritual context, I've learned that the best way to achieve breakthrough in your life is through fasting. Fasting, yes, I know. That sounds like a vegetable breath. Hallelujah. Fasting. So what is fasting? Let's talk about it today. I want to make sure for those that maybe have never been able to do one before, or those that has the idea, we want to make sure you talk about it. And I'm believing by faith that everyone for the next 7 days, we're all going to do something to have more of God. So, I've learned through my walk with Christ, the Bible talks about going from faith to faith and glory to glory. And me, can't speak for anybody else, I'm good with the faith parts, the high parts, but it's those twos in the valley of preparation that continues to be my struggle. Sometimes I want to stay right here because I know I'm going to have to dip low. I'm going to have to be able to humble myself. I'm going to have to be able to push away the plate to get to where I need to go. So, if you just go to the next slide. So, what is fasting? There's two parts to it. First one, prayer is connecting to God. Now, get that? Prayer is connecting to God. And then fasting is disconnecting from the world. You have to do both. Like if you just fast and change what you eat, you're just on a diet. But you have to connect and disconnect. Now, what's the difference with the prayer is just kind of like a power strip, if we were all power strips. Connecting through prayer is the source. God wants us to be able to plug in every day. He doesn't mind you being an extension cord and having more sockets with life, with your ministry, with your business, with your family, with your kids and your kids on kids and how many ever you got and your multiple streams of income. But God want to make sure that you're connected. Now, in the month of January here at Diverse City, as we go on the fast, it's about disconnecting. What are some of those things that you're doing in your life, whether it's from social media? Not necessarily if it's bad, but during this time, it's better to do what's right than versus what's good. Disconnecting, getting unplugged so you can have more time to be able to spend with him. When you normally would go out on a lunch every Wednesday, you said, for the month of January, guys, I'm just going to chill and stay back. You spend that time actually reading. You spend that time actually studying. You spend that time actually being able to hear from God because you're serious during this time of fasting. So you can go to the next one, actually. So there's three different types of biblical fast. Now, I've kind of experienced and done all of the three, and when I look at my life and just kind of X some of the highlight reels, if someone wanted to make a tape for it, most of them came through fasting. It was that where I experienced during the fast where I felt the call to be able to do ministry. It was the fasting that said, you need to move to St. Louis. It was the fasting during times of grief and pain when we actually lost childs. During the fasting has been a moment to bring breakthrough, to be able to bring revelation in my life. Now, the first one, it says normal fast. Now, normal fast, as you look through the Bible, there's multiple examples just based on time. We don't have to go through them all, but a normal fast is just basically only drinking water. Now, if you talk to your doctors, they will tell you it'll be nice out of the 7 days of the week if you could take one day to fast to help your body cleanse, to be able to do the toxins. Normal fast. You see examples of Esther. You see examples of Jehoshaphat all through the Old and the New Testament. And then number two, you have your absolute fast. An absolute fast means no water. This is just you and Jesus. No Tic Tacs, no breath mints, no none of that stuff. No water, no liquid, no fluid. Now, they will tell you with the fast that you should not do this more than 3 days. I repeat, you should not do this more than 3 days. Now, there's three examples in the Bible that goes for an extended amount of time, and there's a reason why they're in the Bible, and I am not. Number one, you see Elijah. Elijah does a fast, and there's angels that visited him. So, if he tells you to go more than 3 days, where's your angel? Number two, we see Moses with a burning bush, and God gives him a vision about what to do to be able to let his people go. Now, as you go home, in this 15-degree weather, if you see a burning bush and God speaks to you, be obedient. And then number three, we have Jesus. As we all know, he got baptized, he received this call to the ministry, and then he goes on a 40-day fast. Of course, this resembled his time of his weakness in his flesh, but in his spirit was untouchable. He was tempted by Satan, and he came back with power and was able to change this world. All back from 2019 years ago, that we're still receiving the blessing of his commitment and sacrifice for 40 days. And then number three, what we're doing here at Diverse City is a Daniel's fast. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about the specific example, but a Daniel fast is just a type of consecration related to food where you're pushing away certain food groups and still eating from others. As you can see in the back where we have our content, we're pushing for fruits and vegetables and grains. Now, for some, we understand there's health reasons, so you can be able to modify that on your own, but this Daniel fast is something that we want to do. Now, I'll be honest, my first year of hearing about a fast, and our church did one, my flesh was weak, and I'm like, Lord, I cannot give away food. But what I did, I gave away secular music. He said, I need you to get crystal clear and be able to hear me. And he told me, 40 days, don't put on none of the music that you really like to hear that doesn't edify me. And through that fast, that was kind of my change to discover amazing and awesome Christian hip-hop artists, being able to hear others, because he was really trying to take me somewhere, but he had to separate me from what I was going through. Amen? All right, so what we got next? So the biggest thing is not just about pushing away the plate. It's not just about praying, but the question is, when you're fasting, what's your purpose? Because your why have to be bigger than what you're doing, or you'll continue to give in. So are you asking God to change you? Are you asking God to change your circumstances? Are you asking God to be able to reveal something to you? You need direction. You need to figure out what to do, where to go. Each time you're on a fast, it's not just about pushing away. You have to be aimed on a higher purpose, a higher calling. If not, you'll continue to be able to slip and fall, and you're mad at yourself, and the devil will try to play on that, but you have to have a why. All right? So next. So here's interesting. Not only just going on a fast, it's very important of what you do to go into a fast and what you do to come out of a fast. Now, I've probably been doing fasting for the last 12 years, and the first 3 years, the day before, hallelujah, everything I wanted to eat, the Golden Corral, the cookies, green beans, tomatoes, you name it, all of it. Listen, the Sunday before the fast, it was all planned out. From the breakfast, I had to get my three favorite restaurants in because a brother can't cook that well. And what I found and experienced, those first 3 days were horrible, because I didn't prepare myself getting ready for the fast. So if you're going to fast, you got to prepare yourself, whether it's through caffeine. Yes, you can have your dessert the day before, but don't eat dessert every meal. Don't buy a dozen of donuts and say, for every hour I shall eat of thee as I prepare for the fast. No, that's not going to work. And for those that are trying to bring donuts next week, I rebuke you. Hold it. Do not bring it here. I don't want the temptation. And there's others in here that would like to continue to go. And we don't need that defiled smell in our nostrils. And it's very important when you're coming out of a fast. Whoo, Lord. One time, my first fast, me and my roommate finished it. We were so happy when I actually did a Daniel fast. So the first day, we had our lunch planned out. We went to the Chinese buffet. It was so awesome going down, Lord. But for the next 3 days, the brother was sick. You got to be careful. You can't just go straight red meat, all you can eat, and be like, I will not eat any vegetables. I'm going to eat meat and sweets. Be very careful on the fast, which you do, going in and coming out. If not, you maybe need to fast from your fast to recover. Amen? So moving on to the next area. Check this out. Now, Matthew chapter 5, I really like this verse because it's actually Jesus speaking. As we know in Matthew chapter 5, it talks about the Beatitudes. And then when you get into actually chapter 6, God actually starts to throw out, you know, specific mandates and specific commands. It starts early in this verse. It talks about when you give. So that's why we do teach on giving, because it's a principle that we can adopt to be able to be like Christ. The Bible also talks about before verse 16 is this, when you pray. I think it's verse 9 through 13, if any of my scholars can check me on that. It talks about the sacred prayer. Here, Father, hallowed be your name. It's all there. And then when you get to verse 16, as that foundation is laid, it says, and when you fast. So God is expecting us to fast. Some of it is just to establish a pattern of discipline. It's to get our eyes focused on him. It's not necessarily you have to do it in January, but we do it together to become partners and encourage each other as we lean on each other. But for others, like I know people that fast every Sunday. That's just their thing. Or they fast on Sunday or Saturday leading into Sunday. Normally, when I minister, I didn't do it this time, but Saturday night at lunchtime, I'm done eating until after the word, because that's just me and his hookup for me to be able to yield to him. Some of us fast before we actually buy and make purchases, but the key is when you fast. It's an expectation for us to be believers. If you want to be a giant in the spirit, if you want to be a believer that actually have an edge versus being someone that's dull. Now, what does it say? When you fast. Nope, go back real quick. Don't ruin that surprise. All right. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So if you're on a fast, you know, you can still take a bath. You can still put on lotion. You can still do those things to be normal. You ain't got to go to work dragging your feet. Everyone asking you what's wrong. And you'd be like, God put me on the fast. You know, I had a bad year. Help me out. Nothing should change. It's not for you to be able to share and forecast with everyone. We talk about it because this is a corporate fast. But individually, that's between you and God. That's your secret place. And no one should be able to see due to you looking weak and all kind of craziness because what's going on. Now, what's interesting over what we're in week two, getting ready to the last week, I've had some interesting observations as I talked to some people that are on the fast. And as you know, I don't preach a good message without one meme. Number one, dude, we've only been on the fast 2 hours. Some of y'all don't even go, you got to go grocery shopping. You got to get your food in order. You got to prepare. You got to eat some of the stuff, get it out of your house. And you are already looking weak and faint. And you 2 hours into the fast. Looking for support. Lord, help me out. I eat every 2 hours, whatever, you're on your meal plan, and you're complaining. I've heard it. I've heard more conversations about what you're giving up, about where you're going. Meme number two, oh, man, how I feel after 9 hours of fasting. You see my man looking as if he hasn't eaten. You can see through his hands, complaining, frustrated, don't know what's going on. You might as well just go ahead and eat some chicken, straight up. If it's like that and you can see through your hands, you got to get attitude checked. Something ain't right. And we got to go to my boy, because he's always kicking knowledge right here. Yes, fasting isn't hard if you sleep till noon. Yeah, I got it. I know my people, right? So if I got to miss one meal, how about I just ask the request, Lord, put me on a part-time work schedule because I'm committed, being able to help, and you're trying to play the system. You're trying to figure out what you can get away with. Don't let this be you. What's next? What we got next? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Watching people eat while I'm over here fasting like, oh, man, you're upset because you can't go to lunch. They're looking at you all crazy, and you're complaining, and you're frustrated. That's not what this is about. You're going for a high calling. God wants to see you go to another level. But your attitude, your posture, your sacrifice, and your commitment to him is not just not to eat. You're taking that time. You're replacing it with your reading. You're replacing it with your studying. You're placing that time to be able to get serious and laser focus on what he wants you to do. Next, please. I think that's the last one. All right. So that was more of what you don't do. But what do you do? In verse 17 and 18, it says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Hallelujah. Wash your face. Brush your teeth too. Thank you. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. That's what we should be doing. That's the benefit. That's what we're going after. These are the principles and things that we want to do to be able to see God's best for our life. Now, I already see it. I feel the resistance in the room, right? Nah, you don't know. You don't understand. Yes, I understand the two strongest natural appetites in your body that God gave is food and sex. God gave it to you. And if you're single, sex should be crucified a long time ago. But food, you're able to push it away for a certain period of time for a spiritual purpose. Yes, I know it's hard. Yes, I know it's difficult. But it's something that we need to do. If it was worth for Jesus to be able to get up and pray in the third hour, starting at 3 a.m., to prepare him to set his atmosphere, if it was worth Jesus going into the desert 40 days, surely with us being disciples and believers of Christ, understand that we have to be able to make sacrifices too. So when I looked at the word fasting, and it's interesting just to kind of build upon that as far as definitions in the Hebrew, it actually mentions, Hebrew. It says, in the Hebrew, fasting means practice of self-denial. And then in the Greek, it actually says afflicting one soul or body. So with all that being said is that, yes, we know it's gonna be difficult for you. But I'm telling you, what got you here won't get you there. What got you here won't get you there. That's the discipline it takes. The Bible also talks about in Luke 6:38, we normally hear in reference from a giving context where it says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. There's a principle behind that that works not only just beyond giving, but forgiveness. As you're hospitable to others, as you make sacrifice and make room for God, then God is able to make room for you. Because fasting is not necessarily for you to get more of God, but fasting is for God to get more of you. I'll say that again. Fasting is not for you to get more of God, but fasting is for God to get more of you. He wants more of you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be your best friend. But we got to fit him in. We got to change our frequency. We got to dial in during this time of fasting and understand our why is bigger than what we're giving up to be able to get closer to him. Look at our pastor. He's out there in Africa risking his life. One of the things that Pastor Lorinda didn't bring up, but if you've seen it on Facebook, is when he was on the plane going to Africa, a lady heard him talking about going to the Congos, and she said, please do me a favor, do not go. It's dangerous over there. You're light-skinned. You may not come back alive. Are you willing to make that sacrifice for God? No, he's not saying quit your job and be a missionary, but who can at least admit that they would like to have more God this year? Who can at least admit that they can do a little bit more to see God bless your life radically? So be willing to decline the lunch invitations. Be willing to clear out your schedule. Yes, you have these routines and different things, but during your time of fasting, our focus, our purpose is on him. Now, it's funny. I had an interesting experience. What was it? Friday. So my mom's in town. She's not here. She's home with the kids. She's maximizing her time for the four days. But she's not on a fast. Hallelujah. So I was working Friday. She's with the kids. And she was hungry. So she was making some chicken or whatever. And she was cooking the chicken. I'm telling you. Woo! It was smelling so good. And the next thing you know, the fire alarm came on. She burnt the chicken. I said, the Lord will get you on the fast too while you're at my house. Our oven wasn't acting right, technically. She had it on 400, and we got the people coming out tomorrow because 400 is more like 200, so you had to cut it in half. And she was like, I never cook chicken and don't have to put it in the oven for an hour. It's only 30 minutes, and the chicken was burnt. So it was funny. And I was like, gotcha, bam. Y'all too serious. All right, seriously, folks, but spiritually, folks. Let's go to the next one real quick. So there's several passages in the Bible that just kind of talks about just the benefits of fasting. And I could be here all day, but we have to be able to see the Chiefs slay those Patriots today. Thank you. And I told the Lord, I said, it doesn't matter who runs between the ram and the bush or the saints, but nevertheless, not my will, let his will be done. But let's look at this verse. I like this. This kind of talks about the benefits of fasting. Isaiah 58, be on the fast. This is a good chapter to read. It goes, expounds on all the various do's and don'ts on fasting. But I like this verse 8 and 9. Because it actually talks about after you are on the fast, these are three things that you can believe by faith of his promises that will happen for you. So it says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and healing will quickly appear. Who needs healing? That's a promise for fasting. Healing, whether it's physical, healing, whether it's spiritual, healing within your relationship. You get this scripture, you rest on it, you pray on it, and you get your why of what you're expecting God to do. Not necessarily saying it's going to happen in 21 days, but sometimes it has to be able to cultivate, and God wants to see your seriousness. I can give my own examples from ministry. It was like, Lord, I want to be a pastor, and it took a 3-year of cultivating and baking because I didn't want to come to St. Louis, but eventually I was obedient. Healing is what you can expect. Number 2, and it says, and then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. God is willing to give you a brand new start. God is willing to give you brand new righteousness. He wants your past to stay in your past. And through fasting, you can believe that by faith and come forth and not be judged. As we know at Diverse City, we believe in no conditions, no judgment, just love. But sometimes you have to forgive yourself. I believe through fasting, you're able to get a hold of that through your righteousness, because it's not by his doing, by your doing, but it's by his doing. And then number three, and it says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. So we got healing. We have holiness. And God wants to give you help. That's what you can believe. Those are the things that you can expect. And as you read other verses, I actually think it goes about 11. There's almost like about 10 different promises that touch the gamut of multiple different areas of your life. And through your fasting, through your sacrifice, I'm believing as we come into next week, there's already been testimonies of financial blessings. There's been testimonies from healings and miracles. And as you show up next week and we talk about our celebration service, you're going to hear how God has moved in our people through our fasting. So, we're almost done. Y'all good? Can I finish? 12, 13? Say, preach, black man. No. Y'all too serious. Anywho, next scripture. So, Daniel chapter 1. This is the foundational passage as we get within our fasting. And as you know, with Daniel chapter 1, the leading verses, it talks about King Nebuchadnezzar coming in. And basically, he wants to hire or essentially create servants to be able to help within the kingdom. During this time, there's different cultures and customs. Daniel and his boys got their name changed, and they're being able to have to adopt new principles, concepts, precepts, you name it. And a part of it, a part of the customs is Nebuchadnezzar's have the defiled food. And as Daniel and his friends, being the Hebrew boys, they have a moment of conflict. They're wanting to have this opportunity, but it's causing some sort of sacrifice. And what Daniel said is, Lord, just he talks to the lead chief guy, manager guy, and says, can you just do me a favor? Can you just test us? If you just let us just eat fruits and vegetables and come back and let's see what happens. So here it is in verse 20. It says, and in every manner, this is after they did their 10-day fast, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them to be not one, not two, not three, but 10 times better than all of the magicians, the enchanters that were all in his kingdom. God wants to 10x your life, but it's going to take sacrifice. God wants to bless you, but it's going to take fasting. And he kind of gave me an analogy. Just imagine you're doing a job interview, and there's thousands of you competing for this awesome position that's going to pay great. You got the benefits. You got the work schedule. And all of you have these skills. And what it showed is this, like, they went in it not just in their own ability, not just in their own education, but they went in with prayer and fasting. And not only did they get the job, but they were doing it 10 times better than anyone else. So the question is, if all of this sounds good, yes, it takes sacrifice, but it requires us to take action. So this is a lot of people, right? Where we are and where we want to go, and we see this big gap and say, how am I going to get there? There's competition on the other side. There's comfortability over here. And how am I going to get there? But I believe through fasting, God is able to build a bridge for you to be able to walk across. Sooner or later, you have to stop making excuses. Sooner or later, you're going to have to do more. It reminded me of the children of Israel, right? And how God moved them from three different phases. One, they're in slavery, right? This is a time where they don't have enough. God appears to Moses, he fasts, have a burning bush experience, and then he leads the people out. And then they're in the wilderness. That's what this is over here, the wilderness experience. It's not necessarily not enough, but this is just enough. Paycheck to paycheck. barely getting by, just having enough time to be able to do this, barely hanging on. You want your six pack, but you only can see one. Just enough. Just enough. Just getting by, just hanging on. Please, Lord, don't give me a flat tire because that can lead to needing to get a tow truck. I don't have insurance. It's all on a downfall. Just enough. As God would bring down the bread of life and feed them, they can only eat it for a day because next day it would have worms and maggots. But then on the other side, it's like the promised land where you move from not enough to just enough to more than enough. Sooner or later, we all have to be able to jump. You're going to have to be able to see what you're capable of. But just sitting there talking about, planning on what you're thinking about, I would like to do this, sitting around reflecting on your high school stories about how you were a five-star athlete, doing all of these things. What about now? What are you doing now? What are you doing now? How long are you going to sit on those plans? How long are you going to sit on those dreams and visions? And I believe as we go through with our fasting, God wants to move us from the slave to being a son to make us soldiers. Soldiers for Christ. Soldiers are prepared for battle. Soldiers have their equipment on. Soldiers have a gear. Soldiers are ready to fight for their territory. Where my fighters at? Yeah. Amen. Soldiers. But here, I know someone else has this excuse because I've been there. Go to the next one. So some of us have tried, right? Tried the business, tried marriage, tried having kids, tried this job, tried the next job, tried the more education, tried this, tried that, and you continue to fail. You fail and be like, man, God must be don't care about me. And you're, what is this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. And you're sitting on your edge of your 26th failure. And God is saying, one more time, and you're going to knock it out the park. One more time. I know you failed at this. I know you failed at that. You wasn't ready. Will you go back again? Yes, you struggled with this, but will you try it again? Are you willing to take the opportunity to pass the test? Now, what happens is all of the people we admire, all of the things we love from the great and awesome businesses, I challenge people to read biographies. When you even look at Amazon, right? Multiple experiences, 26 opportunities, and on the 27th, he got it right. KFC, as we all know, the creator of KFC, year after year after year, trying to get that right couple of chicken. The chicken was great, but when he first wanted to do KFC, moms were at home. But then later in the early 1980s, when women actually started going to work, it was time to prepare and give the food environment. Some of it's just timing. And then you hit your A. Whether it's Facebook, how many examples or businesses and opportunities are you willing to go? Because you won't settle. It's worth failing 26 times to hit the home run. The athletes we aspire and we love to see, whether it's from basketball, and we love game-winning shots from Michael Jordan. He didn't make them all, but he just kept shooting. And every shot we don't take, we miss every time. And then you get mad when someone else wins the championship. And you're frustrated and be like, that should have been me, and I had this idea, but you have to keep trying until the formula gets right. It's not that you lost. You win or you get a lessons learned. That's it. You win or you get a takeaway, something to be able to apply in your future. And you keep hitting, and then you hit A. You make the game-winning shot. You're the rookie of the year. You win 6 championships, and then you dominate in other environments. You may try to do other things, and now you're selling Hanes, and you're killing it, and now you're selling Jordans, and now you have the most successful business. Because what we try to do is we look at one isolated event of someone's success, and you think they're great at everything. No, it's by trial and error, but it's through tenacity. It's through that dog mentality that you're able to push forth. So tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. I haven't found it and haven't done enough research, but I am very confident that Martin Luther King did a lot of fasts. through his rights and his pushing through the civil rights areas. It was trial by error, where his dream was so great that it's living on after him. It still hasn't even fully materialized. So I found this quote, and I thought it was fitting for today. It says, "We are now faced with the fact that tomorrow is today. We are confronted with the fierce urgency of now. I don't care what you're going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough troubles. Tomorrow has enough worries on its own. But what are you going to do now? We serve a now God. This is a now word of what you have. And God wants to see you go higher." So with all of that being said, for those that are on the fast, keep going, keep believing. And if you're doing the fast the same way you've done it all the time, I'm going to ask you to do more. If you are on the fast and you slipped up and you gave up, get back on the train. God honors it all. And for some of you that has never done a fast before, I'm going to ask you to give up something. I will give you grace if it doesn't have to be food, but what can you give up? Is it social media? Could it just be one meal a day? Can you limit your activity on certain things and say, "Lord, I'm going to give it to you"? Will you wake up a little bit early versus always being in a rush, hitting the snooze button? That's of the devil. You just need one hit and you need to get up and say, "Lord, I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to spend my time with you." That's what we want to do for the next 7 days. And maybe you're saying, "Well, I'm good, I don't really need anything." How about this? Could you just fast for your pastor? Can you fast for your spiritual authority? You come into agreement to be able to see what God has called you to do. Like, there's relationships, whether it's through parents, whether it's your brother, your sister, people you haven't talked through, and you keep hitting the wall, getting FFF, I'm believing for the next 7 days as we come into agreement that you're going to get breakthrough. So with that being said, the next slide, yes, be intentional for the next 7 days. I want you to be courageous, and I want you to be diligent. Be intentional. Write it down. Talk to your brothers and sisters that are in here. Let them be able to come together and join you on this movement. Be courageous. For some, you're just going to have to step outside the box. The fearless is where all of the great and awesome things are at. Be courageous. And then be diligent. If you mess up, it's okay. The first day of the fast, I forgot. Normally, every morning, I make me some boiled eggs. And I finished my eggs and got on the meeting. And I said, "No!" You may slip up. It's okay. You may have a moment of lapse. And don't, no one to be the fasting police, right? If you put Worcestershire sauce, Taylor, sriracha on your food just to make it better, do what you got to do. Get through it. 7 days. I truly believe as we start the year, sets up how the rest of the year. Let's set the pace to be able to do all that we have been called to do. Now, there's one thing from a prayer aspect. It's a struggle for a lot of people, and they don't know what to pray, and they're sitting there waiting. And what God told me is just to tell people is, if you don't know what to pray, you're trying to figure it out, he said to pray the scriptures. Let's just take one for example. Help you out. Give you all a live demonstration. Psalms 23, the most popular chapter in the Bible. Let's do it. And then a psalm from David, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord," nope, just doing one verse. "Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. I thank you that you have my best interest at heart. I thank you, Lord, that everything I need, you've already made provisions for it. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be your sheep, and you are my shepherd." Verse number 2, "He makes me lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. God, I thank you that you're with me. For the next 7 days, I pray that you just surround me with your love." The green pastures represents life, that he's bringing new life to you. You continue to pray. And then verse number 3, "He restores my soul. Lord, I thank you that you're not a God of a second chance, of a third chance, but as many chances I need in my life, you're able to restore me. I thank you, Lord, that you have my back and that when I fall, you dare to cover me. He leads me in the path for the righteousness for his name's sake. Lord, I thank you through all of my issues, my challenges, and my struggles that I don't have to be perfect, that you're not grading me on perfection, but on my effort, and my heart's right with you. Verse number 4, yea, do I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sometimes the valley gets dark. It's very frustrating. You don't know where you're going. But Lord, I just thank you. As long as you're telling me to go, I'll be faithful. Lord, I thank you not keeping me in the valley. You're just leading me through to the promised land. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my haters. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that my haters are just a roadblock, that I'm on my way to the promised land, that though they may reply negative responses because I had bad pictures and now I'm posting scripture, you're with me. In verse number 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, that you love me in spite of my challenges, in spite of my shortcomings, that you're with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, I thank you. This is not the Old Testament time that I need a priest to go in to intercede on my behalf. But you said to come boldly, and you'll hear me. Call unto me, and you'll be able to answer me. That's all you have to do. Was that hard? It doesn't have to just be that chapter. Whatever you're reading, just take some time and pray it and say whatever else you need to do. But when you're actually able to take the scriptures, you can do it in confidence. Amen? Y'all receive something out of the word today? All right.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope this message blessed you.